Glorious God, we bow before you and we love you. And we thank you, Lord, that in your love you speak to us. And Lord, we ask for that now, that you might open our hearts, our ears to hear your voice as your word is read and preached. And Lord, that you might empower me for your praise and glory. And we trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've included in your bulletin part of a passage that there's actually a bigger piece that's a whole here. David is giving for the building of the temple. And he gives out of the general treasury, and then he gives from his personal treasures. And then in verse 5, your scripture starts at verse 6. In verse 5, he issues a challenge to the people who have been watching. They've seen what he's been doing. And he says, now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? And then we'll pick up the scripture then at verse 6. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. Verse 9. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head above all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. This is the word of the Lord. Now, we've got a video that I don't think we've seen yet. You saw a video, but there's another video. And the video is asking the question, what is generosity? And in the video, you're going to see the answers of the family of God here. And we want you to watch this for a minute.
Generosity is giving something to someone from your heart.
Generosity is when you give out of what you have, not just when you give out of your excess.
Give yourself freely in whatever capacity you can to anybody that is in need of you.
Doing something for others in excess of what you think you're able to do.
Generosity to me is to give away something that's very important to me.
Generosity means give till it hurts.
Generosity is when you give until you can't give anymore without thinking of yourself.
Trusting God enough to give of my resources, so whether that's money or time or talent. If I trust God, then I can be generous with what I have.
I believe generosity is to freely give with a happy heart what you've been given or bestowed with.
Giving of oneself or possessions to someone in need.
I think generosity is the joy of giving.
The giving of all that you are, time, talents, and treasure, in response to what you have been given.
Video in just a minute, but we're in a series on generosity, obviously, if you're new here this morning, and we've suggested that God invites you and me into a spiritual journey with Him. And we've suggested that on that journey, He is taking us somewhere. There is a destination to that journey that we're thinking about, and the destination is the formation of a generous heart in each of us. That's what God wants to do. He wants to form in us a heart like His. He is a generous God. We have been made in His likeness. We have been made in His image. And we have gone the wrong way, and that image has been broken but not lost. And now He is restoring that image. And He's really restoring us so that there is this generous heart in us. And when you think about that, the reality of that is that He's making us who we were meant to be. Did you know you were meant to be a generous person? And that's the journey you're on. So, you know, I look in my own heart and I see a great deal of selfishness and self-centeredness. And but I'm not going to lose sight of where God is taking me, nor am I going to lose sight of His power to get me there. And I don't want you to either. So, now, we said with Pastor Leon that the beginning of this spiritual journey into generosity is with giving yourself to the Lord. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 8 to the Corinthians about the Macedonians who were incredibly generous givers, and he said they first gave themselves to the Lord. And so with open hand, we give all that we have to the Lord. And we give ourselves to the Lord. Or in the words of the challenge of David in verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 29, we consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And when we give ourselves to the Lord, Pastor Leon said that's the secret of generosity indeed. And that's the beginning of the journey into generosity. Then last week we said, okay, now we're on this journey. And there are dangers, there are traps on this journey that have to do with money. And the traps are there, and they're about the fact that there's a blindness that comes with material things and having. And there's an addiction we talked about last week that comes with it. And there is an arrogance that easily grows up, and most of all, there is this putting our trust in what we have in hand, our possessions, our wealth, instead of putting our trust in God. So we're on this journey, and there are traps that can sidetrack us. Next week is Faith Giving Commitment Sunday, and that's going to be the climax of this generosity series, and we're heading toward, and we're not going to talk about this all in November. Next week, that's it, then we're done. So we really want you to pray and come and be prepared to make a faith-giving commitment next week. And so in light of next week, what we want to talk about today is generosity decisions. So we said that God is always so interested in the heart. He wants to shape what's going on in the heart, but that doesn't mean the behavior is not important. And so when the heart is shaped right, it leads to actions. It leads to decisions. And so in light of that, what I want to think with you about this morning is, first, what characterizes generosity? And then second, what is the measure What is the measure of generosity? How do you measure generosity? So first, what characterizes generosity? What is generosity? And that takes me back to the video you just saw. I was blessed when I saw that video. I thought, wow, I serve a congregation that's really got a handle on what generosity is. I was blessed. I couldn't get it down perfect, but here's, you know, if I'm misquoting you and you were on that video, I hope I'm close. Generosity is from the heart. Generosity is not just out of the excess. Generosity is giving something very important. Generosity is giving till it hurts, till you can't give anymore. If I can trust God, I can be generous. I know that's a paraphrase of what I think it was Gabriel said. Generosity is giving with a happy heart. Generosity is giving of oneself. Generosity is the joy of giving. Generosity is giving all that you are. And you know what? Everything that I heard on that video is actually in this passage. If you study this passage, you're going to see everything you heard. It's right there. I want to just pull out just a couple of things that are here in this passage that answer that question. What characterizes generosity? What is generosity? So in verse 3, if you have a Bible, and by the way, you can use your cell phone. I know that's okay. You're on the honor system. In verse 3, King David says he gives from his personal treasures. So David gives out of the treasury of the kingdom. You know, there's money in there, gold in there, things that there because of the spoils of war. But then this is very important. It's very significant, and it's unusual. He gives out of his personal treasures. And that those two words, personal treasures, one Hebrew word that is used seven times in the Old Testament. Every other time it's used in the Old Testament, it is not translated personal treasures. It is translated treasured possessions. And every single time, all those seven other times, it's not only translated treasured possessions, but it is God speaking about his people, his treasured possession. And so, for example, in Deuteronomy, out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, God has chosen you to be his treasured possession. So I want you to get a feel for that Hebrew word when you hear that. You, having trusted in Jesus Christ, have become part of the covenant people. You have been grafted into the covenant people, trusting in Christ. You are now his treasured possession. You are incredibly valuable. And when we hear David is giving out of his personal treasures, then we hear that he's giving something that is very valuable to him, and it's actually, I suggest, very unexpected. It's unexpected and it's sacrificial. And the people are watching this. And part of the reason they're so motivated is because of what they're seeing. That's not normal. Wow. Did you see what David did? Wow. Here's the first thing I would just note about the character, what characterizes generosity. It is this sacrificial kind of giving that goes beyond what is expected. Now, second characteristic I want to draw out here, and that is with a word, willingness. If you look through the scripture here, actually, if you start with verse 5, which is, you're starting with 6, but if you start with verse 5, you find the word willing or willingness used 5 times in this passage. David challenges the people. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? And then we are told that the leaders willingly gave. And then we're told that they willingly, freely, wholeheartedly gave. Then we're told by David that not only did he willingly give, but we're told that all the people willingly gave. What is at the root? This is interesting. I hope you find this interesting. I do. Oh, I'm in my study, though. Okay, with my egghead glasses on and everything. Okay. At the root of the Hebrew word for generosity is the idea. Did you hear what I just said? The root of the Hebrew word for generosity is the idea of giving oneself freely, willingly, eagerly, uncompelled, voluntarily, even spontaneously, not grudgingly. Generosity is characterized by a wholehearted, willing freedom in giving. Now, think about, put that next to this reality that we know. Money is so powerful in subtly, or obviously, one or the other, controlling our lives. And so, when I see this kind of willing, wholehearted, free kind of giving going on in our passage, I have to say, this is a work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is bringing this willingness into the lives of all the people of Israel that we're observing in this story in our passage. And what's the implication of that for us when we're making giving decisions? Well, maybe it would be this, that the starting point in making a giving decision, and for this week ahead, the starting point in praying about a giving decision isn't thinking about how much you're going to give. The starting point is praying that God would give you and me that willingness to give that characterizes generosity. Lord, give me willingness. Pray it again. Lord, give me willingness. Lord, give me the willingness that characterizes generosity. We keep praying for that until we begin to say, Lord, you are doing a work of the Spirit in me. Thank you. Thank you. Now, what is the measure of generosity? Second question. What is the measure of generosity? Okay, sacrifice that goes beyond the expected and wholehearted willing giving characterizes generosity, but maybe we're asking, well, but how much do I have to give before I know that I'm generous? Is there a standard by which we can measure generosity? Look at there's a scripture at the top of your bulletin. There are three scriptures there. Is that true? And it's the middle one, 2 Corinthians 8. Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he's seeking to encourage them into generous giving. And this is what he says. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. The Apostle Paul wants to encourage them to give generously, but he's not commanding it. Now think about this. What other standard would you say that about? I'm not commanding. Hey, well, let's take adultery. Would you say this? I want you to be faithful to your spouse, but I'm not commanding. No. Please say no. There's a standard there. There is a clarity about a measurable standard. But the difficulty with greed and materialism is that unlike sexual purity, we don't have one external measure by which to measure. I can't say if you're spending this percentage of your money on yourself, you must be greedy. I can't say if you're spending under this amount, you're not materialistic. What's the measure? Both generosity and greed are matters of the heart, and that's part of the reason it's so difficult to measure them. Jesus said, be on your guard against greed. And Jesus knew that greed could subtly slip in without us even being aware of it. And it does. How do I know that? Listen, I said to you, I don't remember for sure how many years ago. I said maybe 2 years ago, let's say. 3 years ago. I said, I have never heard anybody come to me and confess to greed. Never. Okay? 3 years has gone by. I have to say again, I have never heard anybody come to me and confess to greed. Why is that? Why is it? Because it's down in the heart and it is hard to see. It takes the Lord turning on the light for us to be able to see that. So we're dealing with the heart here, and that makes it difficult. The Pharisees of Jesus' time, they were tithers. They were very careful to tithe in everything. And everyday people looked up to them and said, wow, look at those givers. And you know what Jesus said? You're in the grip of greed. You're lovers of money. They were tithers. And they were in the grip of greed. Because it hides in the heart. Peter Marshall, you may not know that name. Peter Marshall was one of my heroes when I was a young man. Peter Marshall was the chaplain of the Senate the year I was born. So that's a long time ago, and that's why you don't know his name. But a man came to Peter Marshall concerning the matter of tithing. And the man said to him, I have a problem. I've been tithing for some time. It wasn't too bad when I was making $20,000 a year. I could afford to give the $2,000. But you see, now I am making $500,000, and there is just no way I can afford to give away $50,000 a year. Well, Peter Marshall reflected on this man's dilemma. He gave no advice. He simply said, yes, sir, I see that you do have a problem. I think we ought to pray about it. Is that all right? And the man said, yeah, that would be fine. He agreed to that. And so they bowed their heads, and Peter Marshall began to pray with boldness and authority. This is what he prayed. Dear Lord, this man has a problem, and I pray that you will help him. Lord, reduce his salary back to the place where he can afford to tithe. Even if that man had decided to tithe and give $50,000, the Pharisees remind us that this man may not have been giving generously still. You see, because it's a matter of the heart. Now maybe, but how do we get to the measure of it, of generosity? Well, maybe the story of the poor widow and her giving begins to move us toward an answer to that question, what is the measure of generosity? Listen. A poor widow, Jesus is watching this. They're at the treasury near the temple. A poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, one thing is for sure here. The widow did not give out of her abundance. She gave in a way. She gave in a way that impacted her life, the way she lived. We may be challenged still to figure out what is the measure of generosity, but we can say this. Generous giving is not simply giving out of abundance. And generous giving makes a difference. It impacts the way we live. In other words, when we are giving generously under the Lordship of Jesus, there are things that we are going to do without. There are things that we are going to put off buying. Generous giving impacts the way that we live. Thanks a lot, Steve. No, I haven't solved the problem, have I? Because we always want a precise measure. Tell me exactly how I can do it. Step 1, 2, 3. Oh, cross the line here. Did it? No. But I'll give you I'm giving you a principle here, and you can go to bank. You can go to the bank on it. Generous living impacts the way we live. It impacts the way we live. Now, maybe someone says, but what about tithing? Tithing for the Pharisees was not generosity. We know that. But let me say, by contrast, for many people, tithing may be generosity. A young family with a large mortgage and lots of expenses related to their children. Tithing may be generosity. What does the New Testament say about tithing? The New Testament does not, and hear me very carefully about this, the New Testament does not directly command tithing. The goal of the New Testament goes for the heart. The goal that God is taking us toward in the New Testament, this is true in so many areas. The goal that God is taking us toward is the generous heart, a changed heart. But having said that, I will tell you this, the New Testament in the Gospels, Jesus affirms the tithe. He affirms the tithe. And so I think we can say it's clear that the Bible sees 10% as a minimum amount, a minimum rule of thumb. Now we begin to wrestle maybe. So let me share this. I really like something that a popular preacher, Tim Keller, says at this point. Let me share it. A person touched by the grace of God might say, I'm strapped. I can't do it. I'm in too much debt. I can't make it. Okay. But if you have been touched by the grace of God and God said to you, I want you to give 10%, you'd never say, are you kidding? That's unreasonable. Completely unreasonable. No, you'd never say that. Someone says, I can't afford 10%. But wait. If you had a 10% reduction in your income, what would you do? You would be sad, and you would begin to reduce your expenses by 10%. At least I hope you would. But if you're touched by the grace of God, you would reduce your expenses by 10%, and you know what the difference would be? If you've been touched by the grace of God, you'd be happy, joyful. Keller says, a lot of people can't get there because of the hole they're in. It will take time. You're boxed in. Now you're learning about generosity for the first time, and it's going to be a while because of all your obligations. All right? Get going in that direction. Move toward generosity. Move toward the tithe. Say to the Lord, Lord, I want to get there. Give to the point where you get scared. Make a plan. Get gutsy. Maybe it will take a while. But trust God to get you there. In terms of application, that brings me to a second prayer. I've suggested the first prayer in making generosity decisions is asking God to give us this willingness by His Spirit that characterizes generosity. And now I suggest a second prayer, and it's a simple prayer taking hold of a promise that many of us have memorized. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give how? Generously. God will give generously. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, I have known people when it came to giving decisions, and they ask for the leading of the Lord about it, and they report to me that he speaks to them specific numbers. You know what? That could happen to me. But I don't experience it that way. But when I pray, that God will give me wisdom, and I expect and believe as I ask, God hears that prayer. And so as you're thinking about making generosity decisions in the week ahead, and you're praying, I suggest here's two simple prayers to pray. Lord, give me the willingness that has to do with generosity. And then, Lord, give me, I don't know how to measure it. I know the principle. I heard that principle that Pastor Hartman said, but I still am struggling to measure it. Lord, give me wisdom. And Lord, you promised to give that wisdom generously. So I'm going to trust you for that. I invite you to come next week prepared to make a giving commitment. Don't just pray about yourself, though. Pray for all of us. We're all in this together. Pray for the whole body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have us on a journey. This is not us trying to measure up, but this is you working your will in our hearts and minds, and we thank you. And so, Lord, help us to trust you for what you can and will do in us. We ask that. We pray that. In Jesus' name. Amen.